He is Yahweh Yireh, the God who provides. I want to read you a story from the scripture. We have a narrative, and I want you to walk in Abraham's sandals. And just imagine you're like you were when you were a little kid, and you climbed up in someone's lap and said, "Tell me a story, tell me a story." And just listen to this story that we have. God has something to say to us this morning. It says, sometime later, God tested Abraham's faith. "Abraham," God called. "Yes," he replied, "here I am. Take your son, your only son, yes, Isaac, whom you love so much, and go to the land of Moriah. Go and sacrifice him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains which I will show you." The next morning, Abraham got up early. He saddled his donkey and took two of his servants with him, along with his son, Isaac. And then he chopped wood for a fire for a burnt offering and set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day of their journey, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. "Stay here with the donkey," Abraham told his servants. "The boy and I will travel a little farther. We will worship there, and then we will come right back." So Abraham placed the wood for the burnt offering on Isaac's shoulders while he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them walked together, Isaac turned to Abraham and said, "Father?" "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "We have the fire and the wood," the boy said, "but where is the sheep for the burnt offering?" "God will provide a sheep for the burnt offering, my son," Abraham answered. And they both walked on together. When they arrived at the place where God had told him to go, Abraham built an altar and arranged the wood on it. And then he tied his son, Isaac, and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. And Abraham picked up the knife to kill his son as a sacrifice. At that moment, the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Yes," Abraham replied, "here I am." "Don't lay a hand on the boy," the angel said. "Do not hurt him in any way, for now I know that you truly fear God. You have not withheld from me even your son, your only son." And then Abraham looked up and saw a ram caught by its horns in a thicket. And so he took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering in place of his son. And Abraham named the place Yahweh Yireh, which means "the Lord will provide." And to this day, people still use that name as a proverb. On the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. God provides. Do you believe that? That God provides? I had a seminary professor. His name was Jeff Bingham. Big, tall guy. And he would shake that big long finger of faith in our faces and say, "The most important thought you will ever think is what you think when you think about God." Very similar to the Tozer quote that Sam and John quoted for you the last 2 weeks. The most important thought you will ever think is what you think when you think about God. And that's one of the reasons why we're studying the names of God this summer, is they form for us an idea of who God is. And this morning, we will see him as Yahweh Yireh, the God who provides. You may know it as Jehovah Jireh. But it's important that you see God as the one who provides for you. There is no such thing as a self-made man. God provides. Now I'm going to do something I said I would never do, is put pictures of my grandchildren on the screen. I didn't think I would be one of those, you know? But I am. And this little video is of our grandson when he was about 5 months old. He's getting close to two now. But this is a funny thing that I've never forgotten. And so this is my daughter introducing him to fruit.
Judah. Do you not like peaches?
No. No, he doesn't want that. No, please. Get that away from me. What, did he push it back? No, he can't stand the thought of it. Then one more. Oh, is he going to hurl on us here? You know, he just can't stand that, you know. But, you know, as I watch that, and there are those videos of her with him caressing his face. In those first 2 years especially, all of life, but in those first 2 years, if she is not there, every time he is hungry, every time he wakes up to feed him every bite, he can't do anything for himself. She provides for him. And if she is not there to provide for him, what happens to him? He doesn't survive. She has to take care of everything for him. And somehow we grow out of that to think that we're self-sufficient, that we can provide for ourselves, and we forget that God is our provider. That he is the one who cares for us and takes care of us. Those nurturing hands of her, I love those videos where her hands are on the baby's faces. And I thought this week, you know, I've never really thought about God caressing my face, your face. That's how much he knows you. That's how much he loves you and me. Well, today as we study God's name, Jehovah Jireh, Yahweh Yireh, we come to understand that God sees our need. He sees our need and he provides. But let's do a little review. You may have missed one of the last 2 weeks, and it's very important that you understand the names of God, what they mean. Elohim, we studied the first week, then Adonai, and then Yahweh last week. Yahweh, the four letters. That's what tetragrammaton means. Nick, why didn't they just call it the four letters rather than tetragrammaton? That's what it is. And YHWH, the name for God, that's his personal name. And in the third century, up to the third century, they wrote that name, but they stopped using it for fear that they would say God's name in vain and break that third commandment of the Ten Commandments. And so what the scribes would do before that, they would write those letters, YHWH, and then underneath those, they would write the vowels of Adonai so that they would be careful to remember, say Adonai, say Adonai, so that they wouldn't violate those Ten Commandments and break the covenant. And so that's what they did. And then later on, when it was translated into English, the translators didn't understand what the Jewish scribes had done. They didn't understand their conventions. And so they looked at those letters, the YHWH, and the letters there with them, and it looked like Jehovah. And so that's where we get our English word, Jehovah. And we will use interchangeably Yahweh and Jehovah because that's what you're accustomed to. And there's no infraction there. So we'll do that. But I want to use Yahweh Yireh today as we study this scripture. Elohim. Elohim is the first one that we studied. We can get that one on the screen. He's the great creator God, the almighty, powerful creator that we see in Genesis 1. He spoke everything into being. He holds the universe in the palm of his hand. That's who he is, and you will see that written in the English translations as capital G-O-D. That's Elohim. And then Adonai. He's our master, our ruler. In Psalm 50 and 10, it uses the word Adonai. For every animal of the forest is mine, and the cattle on a thousand hills. I know every bird in the mountains, and the insects in the fields are mine. The cattle on a thousand hills, they all belong to him, and so do we. So he is our master and our Lord, our owner. Just like Corinthians 6 and 7 tells us that we are bought with a price. We belong to him, don't we? He is Adonai to us. And then we come to Yahweh. You know, and I want to point out something. You can acknowledge God as Elohim, that great, powerful creator, without knowing him as Adonai, master and Lord. There are people that acknowledge with intellectual assent that God is the great creator, but they don't submit themselves to him. And it's important that we do. How can we know him without submitting ourselves to him? I read a headline this week about Gloria Vanderbilt, and I don't know if she attributed this to herself, but whoever was writing about her said she lived life on her own terms. That's a dangerous precept there. To live life on your own terms. We need to live life on God's terms. Because here's the deal. We're just not that smart. It's all figured out in here, in the rule book of life. God gave us something so that we would know how to live. And we need to live life on His terms. And then we have Yahweh, which will be signified in Scripture in writing all caps, L-O-R-D. It's His personal name. I want you to look at a couple of scriptures where these words are used together. Psalm 7, Lord, it's Yahweh. My God, Elohim. I take refuge in You. Save and deliver me from all who pursue me. Why could we not get under the shelter of the wings of Elohim? He's the creator of all the universe. And so that's how it's used there. Look at Psalm 8. Lord, it's Yahweh, our Lord, Adonai, the master. How majestic is Your name in all the earth. You are the master. You are everything. And I acknowledge that. So it will be interesting for you to go through the scriptures and read the different uses of the word Lord. Understand it. Elohim, Adonai, and Yahweh. Yahweh. I love to think about Yahweh. That was His personal name. Moses said, who do we tell them sent us? And He said, I am. Tell them I am sent you. And this is what it means to me. He always was, He is, and He always will be. I am. And I think about this as well. He is saying to them, I am everything that you will ever need. I am everything that you will ever, ever need. And you're going to see that in the passage we study today. Feel Him caressing your face. Well, let's read the story. Genesis chapter 22 and verse 1. You can expect testing in this life. We will be tested. And so the scripture says in verse 1, sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham, here I am, he replied. And then God said, take your son, your only son whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region, or the land, as your translation may say, the land of Moriah, and sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you. How difficult was this? Remember back, Abraham waited and waited and waited. He was 100 years old when Isaac was born. He waited on him and went through a lot of difficulty getting there. And then God said, all nations will be blessed through your offspring. And now God's telling him to sacrifice his son as a burnt offering. You know what happens to a burnt offering? It's different from a sin offering. This is a burnt offering. It shows complete consecration to God. And that smoke that rises is a fragrance that pleases God. But in a burnt offering, the offering is totally consumed. Everything gone. And yet God's told me that He's going to bless all the nations through Isaac. But Abraham obeyed. He told him to go to the region, the land of Moriah. And I want you to look with me where this is. This is a little topographical map of it. And Moriah will be down here. And you see over there is Mount Zion toward the top there. And let's go ahead and overlay with the labels there. You see the Hinnom Valley. It just makes a little wishbone and connects with the Kidron Valley together. And in between is the Tyropan Valley, which is really not a valley anymore. It's all filled in. It's more of a land bridge. And it separates Mount Moriah from Mount Zion. Mount Moriah would be the place that David would capture from the Jebusites. And then David would build the city of David there. And at the very top of the mountain is the part that he would purchase from Ophel. Remember, he said, I will not offer to God something that costs me nothing. And so he made him, let him pay for it. And he bought that, and then he would prepare that place for Solomon to build the first temple. And so the first temple would be there. And then later on, after that one was destroyed in 586 BC, then later on, the second temple would be built there. And let's show them what that looked like. This would be the place that Jesus would be. This is where Jesus was dedicated as a child. This is where Jesus would teach in the temple, where he would turn over the tables of the money changers and so forth. That was Mount Moriah. That same place where Abraham went to sacrifice Isaac is where the temple was. And this is what it looks like today. So when you see that mount, that's where the temple was, and that's where Abraham went to sacrifice Isaac. Let's look at it. First century again. And now today. And every time you see that picture, that golden dome, every verse over and against the Trinity in the Quran is written underneath that golden dome. It's sad, but that's the place. Now, there are critics who say, well, no, it probably wasn't the land of Moriah. It probably wasn't right there because it doesn't take 3 days to get from Beersheba to Jerusalem. It only takes 2 days. Well, I would say to those guys, they've never traveled with children. And it probably took them 3 days to get there, or with a donkey. And so that's the story. That's where it was. And it's significant to me, especially when I'm there, to look at that. And that's the place. 2,000 years before Christ, that's where he took them. 1,000 years later, David purchased that land. 1,000 years after that, that's where the region where Christ was crucified. Unbelievable. It's an important place. Verse 3, don't doubt in the dark what you've seen God do in the light. Early the next morning, I love that. Early the next morning, he didn't argue with God for 6 months. He didn't say, wait a second, God, you said that he would be this, this, this. He didn't argue with God. Early the next morning, he saddled his donkey and did, and that's what we need to do. We need to quit arguing with God, quit questioning God, and just saddle our donkey and go. Because we ought to believe God's word and what God says. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. And when he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. And on the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance, Mount Moriah. And he said to his servants, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you. That doesn't line up with a burnt offering that's totally consumed, does it? No. Three very intentional verbs there. We are determined to go, we are determined to worship, and we are determined to come back. We believe. Abraham believed that God could do the amazing. He was fully confident that God could make a way. He didn't worry, he just obeyed. How much time do we spend worrying? When we just need to obey. When we just need to trust God at his word. He was convinced that God would bring Isaac back from death if it was necessary. Look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had embraced the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son. Even though God had said to him, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead. And so, in a manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. He believed that God could do that, even though he'd never seen it happen before. He trusted God. Verse 6, convey truth even when the circumstances are difficult. Convey truth even when the circumstances are difficult. I tell you, it's tough sometimes when I walk into a hospital room and the family is looking at me and saying, why? Why my child? Why my husband? Why now? Or why did I lose my job? How are we going to make it? You've heard all those questions. I could tell you so many stories. You know, the elders, when we gather, we have people come to us for prayer. Most of the time, they're in very dire and difficult circumstances that they have no control over. And so we anoint them with oil. We gather around them and we pray for them with all of our hearts. And we ask God's healing over them. We pray in faith that God will heal. But we always share with them, as we anoint them with oil, as it represents the presence of the Holy Spirit, we share with them that we aren't presuming God's will. Because sometimes it's God's will for us to go home. Sometimes it's God's will for us to endure suffering. We may never know the reason why this side of heaven, but we've got to stay faithful to Him in the process. And that's what Abraham is doing. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, and this must have been difficult, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, Father, yes, my son, Abraham replied. The fire and wood are here, Isaac said, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Don't you know that was a question that Abraham was dreading? Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. It must have been such a long walk for Abraham, loving that young man as he did. Verse 9, believe God all the way. All the way. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. And how difficult was this? He bound his son Isaac. He tied him up. He tied his hands behind him. And then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And his hands must have been sweaty, maybe even trembling. Am I really going to go through with this? He took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord, which is the Lord himself, called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham. Here I am, he replied. Do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. Now I know. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. See, Abraham demonstrated the genuineness of his faith here. And there are times in our life when we are pushed to the limit that we need to demonstrate the genuineness of our faith. Because it's in those tough moments when you're at the end of your rope that it's God's opportunity. Our extremity is God's opportunity. And watch Him work. You know, Abraham believed, and it was credited to him as righteousness, wasn't it? Abraham didn't earn it through his willingness to sacrifice his son, but he verified, yes, I believe, and this was a great proof text. And then verse 13, expect the unexpected. Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. And when he went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. And so Abraham called that place, the Lord Yahweh will provide, Yireh, or Jehovah Jireh. God sees and provides a way. And to this day, it is said, on the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. Yahweh Yireh. The Lord will see our need and provide. But then there's a big question mark. There's those times when you say, why me? You say, you know what, I prayed. I prayed for God to provide. I prayed for my child or my grandchild. I prayed for my marriage. I prayed, you fill in the blank. And God didn't answer the way I wanted him to answer. Sometimes that's true, but I want you to remember this. When I finally arrive at the place where all that I desire is all that God desires for me, it is then that I find rest in the arms of true peace and contentment. When all I want is what God wants for me, knowing that God may want me to walk the path of suffering. I've said to people sometimes, as I knew they were about to go through a long path of suffering, look for people on your path that you can bless. As you walk down this difficult road that you would never have walked without what you're going through, look for people to bless. Who knows how God is going to use you on this path? And he does. When I finally arrive at the place where all that I desire is all that God desires for me, it is then that I find rest in the arms of true peace and contentment. I can just let God be God in my life. Come what may, I'm going to trust in him. Let him have the wheel. Can we do that? Can we do that? We really can. Don't doubt in the dark what you've seen God do in the life. As Sidlow Baxter said, it's then we come to that place of mellow maturity. I like that. Well, then the blessing. The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, I swear by myself, declares the Lord. Was God pleased or what? I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars of the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. The Abrahamic covenant confirmed once again land, seed, and blessing through the descendants of Abraham. And Abraham must have looked at this whole situation in that moment and thought, wow, Elohim, the God of the universe, remembers me and remembers my name. Adonai, my master, my owner, my Lord, the one to whom I left my home country and he brought me to this place, the one who told me to sacrifice my son and yet he delivered my son. Yahweh, the one who was and is and always will be, is all that I will ever need. And little did Abraham know that this would be a shadow of substitutionary atonement that would look forward to the day when God would provide his only son, so that you and I might be saved. And so this morning, with that in mind, we observe communion, where we remember the sacrifice made for us, and we celebrate the body and the blood of Christ. There's no more beautiful picture and no more beautiful offering that we could give to God this morning than to remember the sacrifice of his son. Let's pray together. Oh Lord, we come before you in humility. This story moves us. Lord, as we feel the weight that Abraham must have felt in the sacrificing of his son and knowing that you sacrificed your son, to remember what he suffered for us. Oh Lord, what a gift. We thank you for this memorial so that we never take for granted the body and blood of Christ. Oh Lord, we come before you. We want to be clean. We want to be right before you. Not because of anything that we've done or could ever do, but because of who you are and what you've done.